This is Vatican Radio, and I'm Tracy McClure. Raising awareness about safety at sea. That's the theme of World Maritime Day 2012, celebrated on September 27th. Adding poignancy to the events, this year marks the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. It is also the year in which the Italian cruise ship Costa Concordia ran aground off the Italian coast, killing at least 30 people. The director of development of the Apostleship of the Sea, Great Britain, John Green, explains that his Catholic ministry is cooperating with the London-based International Maritime Organization in events planned around the 27th to promote good safety and good well-being for seafarers today. That's what the Apostleship of the Sea has been doing in countries across the globe since it was instituted by Blessed Pope John Paul II. As Green explains, those working in this Catholic ministry offer support to dockers and crews of merchant vessels at ports and for offshore gas and oil rigs and other seafarers. For many, he says, it's difficult to have access to pastoral care and support in their life of faith. He told me about how Catholic chaplains were on board the Costa Concordia and on the Titanic, and recounts their stories of heroism and spiritual support for anguished passengers.
The work of the Apostleship of the Sea, which is the church's pastoral care for all the people of the sea, people who work in ports, people who work on merchant ships, and those indeed on cruise ships. We deploy onto these ships priests, usually from chaplaincies that are able to give us some time, so university chaplains or hospital chaplains, and they'll go on board for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, and we'll try and rotate a team of chaplains who may go on board. Primarily they'll come from the United States, Great Britain, Italy, Australia, and Singapore and Spain. Back in January, when the Costa Concordia had sank off the coast of Italy, there was an Apostleship of the Sea chaplain on board, Father Raffaele Molina. A very interesting story which really illustrates the work of cruise chaplains on board. He was a 70-year-old priest from Calabria in the south of Italy, and when he noticed that the disaster had struck, his first actions were he went to the chapel on board, consumed the Blessed Sacrament, and prayed then in a few moments that as few people as possible would lose their lives. He then stored some of the valuables that the crew had entrusted to him, and then he went straight away to assist the rest of the crew with the evacuation of the ship, because technically he is, as a chaplain, a member of the crew. It came out in the ensuing days, he was a little angry actually at some of the press reports that the crew had abandoned the ship quite quickly and weren't helping the passengers. He said this wasn't the case, and that the crew themselves faced some serious dangers in quite a chaotic situation to help the others. They were trying to help the passengers get off the ship in as orderly a fashion as possible. Quite a difficult task. Father Molina himself stayed close to those who were injured, and also the local Apostleship of the Sea in the island nearby worked to receive the passengers and the crew and provide outreach in the local church. They opened up the parish hall there to provide hospitality and welcome and a word of comfort for all in this tragic situation.
And of course, you're talking about a modern day tragedy, but 100 years ago, the Titanic went down with 3 priests on board. Tell us a little bit about what we know about those 3 chaplains.
That's right. I mean, that's precisely the theme of the IMO's World Maritime Day this year, 100 years since the Titanic. There were, as you say, 3 priests on board. One in particular we know a bit more than the others, Father Thomas Biles. He was an English priest from Westminster Diocese here, and he was a parish priest at a town just outside London called Ongar. Very interesting life story. He was born in Leeds in 1870, and he was baptised by his father because his father was a Congregationalist minister. Anyway, as his studies progressed, Biles went to Oxford University, and there he began to be, he wasn't terribly convinced of the nonconformist position, and he began to be attracted to Anglo-Catholicism, and he decided to take up holy orders in the Church of England. But just before he was ordained deacon, his thinking had progressed further, and he was less convinced of the Anglican position. At the same time, his younger brother William had become a Catholic, and he'd entered the Jesuits in Germany. And in their correspondence, we see some interesting discussion about religious matters and their own progressive conversion and journey of faith. In the end, his brother, William, decided against the religious life and emigrated to New York, where he went on to run a business there. Thomas Biles himself went on for ordination, having been received into the Catholic Church, and studied at Oscott College and finally at the Beda College in Rome. His brother William met an American lady, Catherine Russell, in New York, and they were engaged to be married. So naturally, they asked their brother, Father Thomas, then, to officiate at the wedding. So he booked a ticket on another White Star liner, the Adriatic. However, at the last minute, he was offered a place on the Titanic, which would get him to New York to his brother's wedding quicker. It's interesting that after the Titanic had gone down, his brother's wedding went ahead after the disaster. But straight after the wedding liturgy, he and his bride changed into mourning dress immediately, and then straight away they had a requiem mass for Father Biles. There's an interesting letter that survives about what were the last happenings of Father Biles on board. It said as soon as it became aware to everybody on board that there was an accident, Father Biles appeared on deck in his full clerical dress and moved about among the crowd, giving absolution to different groups and starting all the Catholics on the rosary. And real good descriptions of how he supported the crew. There was an interesting final account that there was a lady, Helen Mary Mocklear, and she said as she got into one of the lifeboats, which was one of the last to leave, as they were slowly going further and further away from the ship, she could distinctly hear the voice of the priest, Father Thomas, and the responses to his prayers. And as they became fainter and fainter, all she could hear was the refrain of the hymn, "Nearer, my God, to thee," and some of the screams of the people left behind. There were two other priests on board, as well as Father Thomas, although we know a good bit more about Father Thomas there. There was a Bavarian priest, Father Joseph Benedict Perisic, and a Lithuanian, Father Joachim Montvila. And I understand there's a movement for the beatification of Father Montvila, because he was a Lithuanian priest who was emigrating to the United States because his ministry as a priest was being somewhat circumscribed by the Russian state at the time, who were occupying the area where he was ministering. None of these priests survived. They all went down with the ship, and there are all accounts that in these last moments they were very much ministering to the passengers. Also, in the days preceding, there were accounts that they celebrated masses, particularly with the crews in the second and third classes. And interestingly, providentially, one could say, that because of their various language skills, Father Thomas being English, Father Benedict being German, and also knowing some of the surrounding languages there, and Father Montvila from modern-day Lithuania, many of the passengers in the lower classes were migrating to the Americas. So they were able to celebrate masses and preach in a whole variety of languages. It was interesting that a report back saying that Father Thomas's last sermon was on the need for a spiritual lifeboat in the form of prayer and sacraments in case of spiritual shipwreck, and that was on the Sunday morning before later in that night the ship itself sank down. You could see the thread of providence bringing these three men really to help these people as they face this tragedy.
I'm getting goosebumps as you speak there, telling these stories. But how does the apostleship of the sea today, when we talk about ministry on board ships and so on, you do a lot of other things as well.
In addition to cruise ships, again, I think in 1990, Pope John Paul wrote a letter essentially structuring the work of the Apostleship of the Sea. And he said it was the ministry of the church to all the people of the sea. So it's the ministry to those people working in ports, dockers, those seafarers coming in on merchant ships, bringing so much of the goods that we use, the clothes we wear, much of it comes from overseas. I heard a fascinating little statistic from Great Britain that we here in Great Britain, we import more cake than we export. Amazing that the cheapness of shipping. So there's many, many people working on ships there. Also, that many thousands working in the fishing industry, not only in Northern Europe and in Americas, but huge numbers working in the Far East. And then also those working on offshore installations, gas rigs, oil rigs. And it's working not only to support their welfare, but also to support their faith, because for many of these people, it's very, very difficult for them to access pastoral care to be supported in their life of faith.
Now, if any of our listeners are thinking of going on a cruise, is there something they can do?
Absolutely. If they're thinking of going on a cruise, in advance of the cruise, do contact your cruise line and say, will there be a Catholic priest on board? Because I would like, very much like this. Obviously, the cruise line will be focused on services for passengers, so this will be of interest to them. But for the many thousands of crew on cruise ships, they will be working on 9 or 12 month contracts, and they often in port will be unable to get off and go to church. Certainly at sea they won't be able to. So the presence of a priest on board will be of great help to the crew. And indeed, if any priest is thinking of taking a cruise, it would be good, again, if they could contact their local Apostleship of the Sea, let them know they're going on a cruise, and it may be possible to make some contact with the ship's company to make it possible for them to celebrate Mass on board for the passengers and crew, and this would be hugely appreciated by the crew.
Now, World Maritime Day 2012 coincides with the Feast of Our Lady Star of the Sea. What celebrations are you going to be having there in the UK?
That's right. It's the last Thursday in September, so this year, the 27th of September, and fortuitously coinciding with the Feast of Our Lady Star of the Sea, Stella Maris. So here in the UK, we're having two particular celebrations. One will have a celebration of Mass on the day in the Church of St. Aloysius in Glasgow, where just over 90 years ago, the local St. Vincent de Paul group thought, well, as well as visiting the poor and needy in our parish, let's visit those on the ships coming up the Clyde. And from this began the Apostleship of the Sea. So that will be a real homecoming for us. And also on the eve, on the 26th of September, in Westminster Cathedral, many of the supporters of the Apostleship of the Sea will gather for Mass there. We're delighted not only to have our own Great Britain Bishop Promoter, Bishop Tom Burns of the Diocese of Menevia, but also the Secretary of the Pontifical Council for Migrants from Rome, Bishop Joseph Calanthimparel. He's going to come over and join us for that. So we're really delighted for that celebration, which will be a moment of great remembrance for those who've lost their lives in accidents like the Titanic over the years, but to remember all those who are at sea in one way or the other, and also their families.
And a warm thanks there to John Green, the Director of Development of the Apostleship of the Sea, Great Britain.